95% of those who are incarcerated across America will be released in the next 5 years. So I think the question for the church community and for society at large is, will those people who are incarcerated be more prepared after they are released than they were when they went to prison? Will they be better able to function in society after the taxpayers have spent thousands of dollars to keep them incarcerated than they were before they went to prison? It's a good question. Nationally, 70% of those who are incarcerated will return within 3 years after they're released. So 7 out of 10 who are released will return to prison.
Welcome. This is the Unconventional Ministry Podcast. I'm Dennis Weens, your host, the Senior Impact Catalyst at SAT7 USA. I invite you to visit their website, SAT7USA.org, to learn ways you can be involved in this vision to see a growing church across the Middle East and North Africa. My guest today is a high school dropout arrested 17 times by the age 17, earned his GED in prison, got a scholarship at the same university he had a trespassing ban at, earned a bachelor's degree, and Kerry says he married a godly hottie. He purchased a home, earned a master's degree, became a father, and earned a doctorate. Now Kerry Sanders is a CEO of Jumpstart, a ministry that is building transformational opportunity while breaking cycles of crime and addiction. My guest today is Kerry Sanders, CEO of Jumpstart. So, Kerry, welcome to the Unconventional Ministry Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. I'm super excited.
It's great to have you. I was reading a little bit, and I found on the Prison Policy Initiative that less than 5% of the world's population is in the United States, but 20% of the world's incarcerated people are in the U.S. So that's 1 in 5 prisoners worldwide is incarcerated in the United States. So that's quite a statistic.
Yeah, very sobering statistic.
And your own journey of incarceration, and God has worked in your life in an amazing way. So I'm glad that you can join us on this Unconventional Ministry Podcast. Just talk about your story, but talk about what you are now doing to help others, because God worked in your life in such an amazing way. And we want to learn a little bit more about Jumpstart and what you're providing prisons across America.
Sounds great, Dennis. I'm ready to share.
So let's start with incarcerated people. The numbers are so big for the United States. What are their biggest challenges when you think of, when they think of getting out of incarceration, out of prison? What are some of their big challenges? Help us understand what they're facing as they come out of prison.
Yeah, Dennis, I'll start with draw out those statistics a little bit, because most people don't quite grasp 1 in 5 and what that might quite mean. In the United States, there are 2.5 million people incarcerated. There are 15 states in America that do not have a population of 2.5 million people. So that is a sobering statistic. Another sobering statistic is that 65% of those who are incarcerated have children. And so there's a generational effect there of poverty and crime when parents are incarcerated. You know, some would think, well, you know, if they're incarcerated, they obviously did something wrong. And that's often true. People need to experience justice when they commit crimes. But those who experience justice and end up incarcerated, most of the time do not have a life sentence. 95% of those who are incarcerated across America will be released in the next 5 years. So I think the question for the church community and for society at large is, will those people who are incarcerated be more prepared after they are released than they were when they went to prison? Will they be better able to function in society after the taxpayers have spent thousands of dollars to keep them incarcerated than they were before they went to prison? It's a good question. Nationally, 70% of those who are incarcerated will return within 3 years after they're released. So 7 out of 10 who are released will return to prison.
So that's where Jumpstart comes in, because I was reading on your website, you accomplished this ministry of helping prisoners and assisting in their reentry to society through community partnerships to address the spiritual, educational, employment, healthcare, housing, and family relationship needs.
Yeah. Let me paint that story as a picture. I was actually in the first ever Jumpstart class. I'd been incarcerated for a couple of years, and I'd heard a lot of stories, like a friend of mine named John. I asked John, like, John, what are you going to do when you get out? And he's like, well, I'm going to come back. And I'm like, well, with that attitude, obviously you will. And he said, kid, you're just naive. And I said, John, what do you mean? He said, well, Kerry, I've been in and out four times. He said, when I get out, nowhere will hire me. He said, if I could get a job, I don't have transportation. Then I already owe restitution and parole fees. He said, nobody will rent to me because I've got a criminal record. He said, what am I supposed to do but come back? He said, my crime has alienated me from being able to function in society. And so Jumpstart was started to break that cycle. We have an inside-out approach. And what that means is for a year before individuals are released, they go through a rigorous discipleship program for a year. Now, this isn't church Sunday school as usual, where we celebrate them for just showing up and sitting in a pew. They actually have to put in homework. They're judged by their peers. Yes, judged. We use a 360-degree review assessment on each participant to measure, are they living out what they are learning? And then we don't do like some prison ministries who only get work inside of the prison. We actually assist them once they are released. We have housing, transportation, employment, really everything a man or a woman needs to go from prisoner to productive citizen. We have a two-year residential holistic program that enables them to go from prisoner to homeowner in 2 years. So there's a lot of puzzle pieces there that make that possible. But that's big picture what we're doing. Inside discipleship coupled with tangible reentry support.
So do you find that the challenges are the same for men and women, or are there unique challenges? And does your program adapt to whatever the need is of the person coming out?
Yeah, the men and women do have distinct challenges. More often than not, the men struggle with types of anger issues, father wounds, addiction issues, a lack of preparation for, you know, the work environment. And then they have their own unique sin issues that they need to be discipled in. The women have some of those same things, but more often than not, the women who end up incarcerated 85 to 90% of the time are victims of abuse, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. And so a lot of them have been through very traumatic things, and it's really hard for them to trust and allow people to serve them well. But we have, in some ways, through the gospel, through God's word, cracked the code on some of that. And I think we are doing some of the best work in the nation on preparing people for release and then helping them not only survive after incarceration, but actually thrive in the community.
So we have some pastors that regularly listen to this podcast. How can a pastor, a church, come alongside what you are doing? Walk us through what that would look like for people to reach out to you to come alongside and get involved in what you are doing.
I would say for the pastor who is wanting to get his people out into the world serving, if he's actually trying to equip people for the work of the ministry in the community, we offer a very compelling local missions opportunity. Inside of the prisons in our classes, volunteers in South Carolina are going into 19 different prisons from about 40 different churches. So each week they are going in and participating in a small group with those who are incarcerated, helping them learn to follow Jesus. That's not only them a serving opportunity, that church member gets discipled when they go. They get discipled in a profound way. In our transitional program in the upstate of South Carolina, each participant has a one-on-one mentor. We have volunteers from churches teaching nutritional cooking, financial literacy, exercise, and all types of other classes that are centered around building good life skills for one's future.
This is very interesting. As we, you know, listen to the news, we hear about people being incarcerated, but we don't think this deeply about the issue and so many challenges for them coming out to get reestablished in society and in culture. I really appreciate what you're doing. You have a website, Jumpstart. Where should people go first on your website to begin their journey of being informed? Because God works on the basis of information. And as they get informed, He can touch their hearts and lay a burden on them to get involved in what you're doing to come alongside you. So where should they go first on your website?
Yes, sir. Great question, Dennis. We're currently active in 5 different prisons in the United States. I'm responsible for South Carolina, and we also have programming in Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, and Alaska. We haven't did any push marketing where we're trying to tell people, hey, we've got the answer and you need to deploy it. We're waiting on God to put it on people's heart to reach out to us. For anyone in any of those states or another state who might be interested, they can learn more about our work at www.jumpstartvision.org. A home screen will pop up and they can select their state of interest.
So I'll put that.
I'd also be happy for anyone to connect with me on LinkedIn.
And, you know, I first learned of what you're doing on LinkedIn. You had a post that was attractive and you're bringing about educational and helping people prepare for coming out of prisons. And that was attractive. So I reached out to you. So I'm glad that you joined the Unconventional Ministry podcast to share this. You were arrested 17 times before the age of 17. Do you do work with juveniles in that, those that are coming in, like in your own story, or is this more for adults, you know, above the age of 18?
Yeah. Jumpstart's work is for those who are adults. I do some volunteer work with the juvenile justice system.
Kerry, I really appreciate you coming on. This is interesting and something that we should think about more. What's your message to the local church? Do you find churches have prison ministries, or most churches haven't thought about having a local church prison ministry?
Yeah, I think a couple of things there. But when I was incarcerated, we had a number of churches who would do prison ministry. And more often than not, what that involved, Dennis, was the church sending 2 or 3 people out to the prison twice a year. And it would usually be 2 or 3 people who wanted to preach, but the church would never give them an audience. So it would be someone who didn't have the gift of preaching, but since they had a captive audience at the prison, you know, the pastor could turn them loose. But there was very little relational discipleship from those in the church. And I would say that not just in prison ministry, but in across the board where there are people who are hurting, broken, the very people Jesus cared about, that the local church is doing more than anyone else in the world to address those needs, but they're not doing near enough. I would say in almost every church I'm familiar with, which is a lot of churches, you've got 20% of people who are out serving in the community, putting God's love and light on display, but you've got 80% of the people who aren't doing anything for anyone. And I would say if they would read the New Testament carefully, they would see just what Jesus thinks about that. And I hope that for those who hear this and feel a call to action, they feel me stepping on their toes, that they would step out in the world and serve someone other than themselves.
And build
I think what they'll find is that their faith will come alive when they partner with God and his work in the world in a way that it'll never come alive as they sit in here preaching each week.
Amen. And to find somebody, be relational with them, just let them talk, relate to them, help them through their challenges. And like you mentioned, the prison isn't a place for wannabe preachers to go preach with a captive audience, but also to do it really with the heart of building relationships with those inside.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is fascinating, and I'm sure you're going to get some follow-up from my podcast listeners who are going to be intrigued by this. They're going to look at your model, really appreciate what you're doing for the kingdom in an area of the kingdom that we rarely think about or we're not informed enough about, and the role the church can play in a more significant way to come alongside what you're doing in this amazing work to help those incarcerated come out and be successful in society and culture and back involved in the church. So, Kerry, thank you for joining the Unconventional Ministry podcast.
And thank you for having me, Dennis. God bless.
In our changing world, there are more ways than ever to do ministry. Sat7 as a broadcast media ministry is changing how ministry is done. Through innovative approaches, collaborative efforts, broadcast satellite television, web streaming, and social media, Sat7 is making a difference. Visit Sat7 online today at sat7usa.org to learn ways you can be a part of this kingdom work. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please share it with your friends. If you know of an unconventional ministry approach, please introduce us. We'd like to have them on as guests. Thank you again for joining this episode of the Unconventional Ministry Podcast.